So today is Women's Sunday, and thank you, Steffi. She was the brainchild behind this that we've been doing for probably 5 or 6 years now. And I always like to clarify before we get started, we're not trying to make a feminist statement. That's not our desire. Our desire is for us to hear from everyone in the body of Christ, and we just set aside this day, since mostly we hear from the men throughout the year, although I did remind Tony that almost half of his worship team is female. And I'm none too shy about speaking on the mic when I'm leading worship. But we just like to hear from and honor the women in our congregation because we have a lot of wisdom. And so that's really what this Sunday is about, is just giving a chance to let us be exhorted from the women in the house. Amen? I wrote down a book idea, and I was about to read it. You are now a princess in Lockton Land. So save that for the book. Our first speaker is Jennifer Johnston. Jennifer is married to Brian, wave of hands right there, for 29 years. They have 4 beautiful children, one which I've already drafted into the worship team. And she homeschooled all of them, so I think that gives you an automatic saint's crown. And she is a recent transplant to Florida, but almost 8 years, so not too recent. But she is a fellow Buckeye, so we have great affection for Jennifer. But that's Jennifer's version of herself, but my version is Jennifer is a woman of wisdom and kindness. And I've just watched her in the last couple of years since they've been here, watch her serve, watch her be a friend to everyone in the house. And she is a diamond in our midst, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say today. So please welcome Jennifer Johnston.
Practice standing up here, so I know what this feels like before I start. But anyway, so you're asked to speak in front of a bunch of people, and of course the first thing you do is, what should I speak on? What in the world do I have to say? So I did get lots of ideas. The Lord spoke several things to me, and I kept writing them down, and it wound up just being a bunch of scribbling. So where do I go from there, right? And then you read scripture. You read Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Wow. God planned in advance a destiny of good works that we would fulfill. Scripture is so powerful. I should just stand up here and read scripture. It worked for Psalm Sunday. But I'm not going to read Ephesians, and I'm not going to just read scripture, but I'm going to share a moment in my life that really caused a radical shift in my Christian walk, in my thinking. But I'm going to preface that with John. In the beginning of 1 John and also in Revelation, he says that he bore witness to the word. And what does that mean? He bore witness to the word. In 1 John, he states that this is the word from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have held. He makes this point 3 different times in the beginning of 1 John. He's saying, I've seen it. I know it. It's something that I've seen with my eyes. I've heard with my ears. And I'm going to make that same point, that this is my experience. This is my part of my testimony. 1 Corinthians 2:14 starts with, God always makes his grace visible. So I pray that you would make that grace visible to me as I speak. Because I might say something that'll challenge you, or I might say something that you're not sure about a certain point or something like that. But don't let that be a reason for you to miss something that God has. He has a revelation for you continually. Take that forward into a worship service or any teaching or anything like that. A lot of times we can shut down and just like, oh, I'm not going to listen to that. Don't lose the revelation that God has for you. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So don't take offense, but take the revelation that God has for you. So my moment in time was the day, which actually wasn't a day, it was in the middle of the night. I was at a women's retreat and a pretty intimate gathering, but we had a moment of prayer breakout, and so we were up all night that night, and I began speaking in tongues. And this opened up a whole new world for me of understanding of scripture and praise songs being more full and scripture being vivid and being able to sing in tongues and just all of this that just brought such a fullness to my life. Now, did I have the Holy Spirit before that? Was I saved? Yes, absolutely. I even had moments that were, I would call like Holy Spirit moments where I, you know, I remember as a child being in the sanctuary and it was, I was alone and just knowing that God was real. I felt his presence. I knew he was real. I had scripture that would be illumined to me to accomplish something in my life. Like when I went back to I finished college. We'd gotten married while I was in college, and I had to go back and finish, and I definitely had scripture that was kind of a touchstone for me during that. I even had a prophetic moment. I had been out on a date with Brian, and I came home running up the stairs, and I thought, that's the man I'm going to marry, and we weren't even dating at the time, so it was definitely prophetic, and not at that moment did I think that, but as, you know, life has gone on, it obviously was a prophecy. So yes, I had the Holy Spirit, but I often didn't operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I never even questioned what that would mean or what that looked like or wonder whether I had that, or I didn't even know to question that, I guess is my point. So, but when this happened, it made me want to just really dive in and study and look into and find out what does this mean. So I looked at a lot of scriptures. I pulled up scriptures that were specifically about tongues, but then I also realized that there are many scriptures that don't specifically state tongues, but it's definitely about the Holy Spirit moving in your life. I also read books, Authority of the Believer by Macmillan. I read Forgotten God by Francis Chan. Andrew Womack has teaching articles on his website that cover a lot of touchy subjects, I guess, in the Bible, and I would read those to my kids and study them together, so I gained a lot of understanding. I read other people's stories and their testimonies, and I became really excited and started sharing this with everyone, and not everyone wanted to hear what I had learned. So I was really surprised to find that people would actually argue with me about my testimony, about this personal experience that I had. They would disagree with the way it happened or the order in which things happened in my life or things like that. And I would point out other people's experiences and say, well, it doesn't have to look like mine, but all I'm saying is, why wouldn't you want to go forward and have more? If he has more for you in any area, not just tongues, but in any area, why wouldn't you want to go forward? So the Holy Spirit is the helper. And if you're given a helper and he's available to you, why wouldn't you want to take that? Amen. So go after everything. The word says in 1 Corinthians 1:7 that we come behind in no gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift. So take him for what he has for you. Often people would argue based on something someone else had told them about tongues, maybe some misinformation, that it's a gift that's given to you as though God was holding something back from you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't hold things back. Luke 11:13 says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He has that gift for you. He has anything that you want him to, you know, anything that you're seeing in the Bible that is something that you're desiring, ask him. He will give it to you. So people were somehow implying with that statement that they were somehow less or not as full or not as mature of a Christian. Well, I know I was saved. I know I had a full life in him. And now that I have tongues, I know that I still have a long way to go. It's not going to solve all your problems. But Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the actual meaning of that is be being filled. Go again and again, fill up again and again. And I'm saying this because it encourages me to speak in tongues more too. Another lie that is told is that you have to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That people are actually waiting for him to open your mouth and speak. Well, that's not what my experience was. In fact, I had a sense before I started praying in tongues that I was going to speak. I had like a knowing, I had a thought, wow, this is going to happen to me. Like I had heard, you know, not a whole lot, but I knew a little bit, and I knew that that's what was going to be happening. But most testimonies that I have read and I've heard have more to do with faith, believing it's for you, believing it's for everyone. A lot of times people just say just a few little words and they'll go forward. No, I believe that that is mine, that that is, I'm able to do that. So there's certainly an element of faith involved. And so the question is, would you rather apply your faith to believing you can speak in tongues or to believing that it's not for you? And I would say go forward. I know Andrew Wemeck's testimony is that he was praying and just really desiring this gift, and he spoke like two syllables. And he got up, and he started to walk out the room, and Satan said, that's not tongues. What do you think? You don't have that. So he had to press forward, and he actually says that he went forward for some time just saying those two syllables and believing that that was his gift, that he had had it. And at the same time, when I had my experience, I had a choice. I had a choice at that moment to open my mouth and speak. Somebody was actually praying over me. I was kind of interrupting them. I had the choice to open my mouth and speak, so that too. And I'm not saying that to say that there's some specific method or anything like that. I'm not saying you have to do this or anything like that, but I'm just sharing what has been so helpful and so filling for me, such a good experience that I want everybody to have that, that to know that it's available to you especially, and not believe a lie that keeps you from having everything that he has for you. Jude 6 says, you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I need a lot of building up, so I'm going to commit even more to praying in tongues more. And in fact, recently, the Holy Spirit showed me something. He reminded me of some times that I had prayed in tongues where it was very emotional and just tears coming to my eyes, and then situations that would occur and come up in my life where I was also feeling those emotions. And he was showing me that I was praying over those times in the future that hadn't even happened yet, that he was being my comforter right then. He was helping me right then. So he's outside of time. His methods and ideas he has for us over future events, he even heals past things. So I think you can pray in tongues for the past, present, and future. So in the past year or so, though, I've also realized that it's, you know, I thought it was kind of this building up thing for me, it was kind of a personal thing, and I've realized how important tongues is to the church. That it's so valuable, especially to the end times church. Revelation describes a church that releases the Holy Spirit to the world, a church that is raised up for a prayer and worship movement in the end times. I don't think we can do it without tongues. Romans 5:17 says we are to reign. So if we're going to reign in the next life, we better start reigning now and learning how to reign now. So it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that brings us to that. The Holy Spirit is listed as a comforter and a helper. And so lately I've been thinking about the Holy Spirit as a warrior, that we can decree things, that we can pray things in a powerful way through tongues. I've been reading a book called New Era of Glory that states, the Holy Spirit is much more than we think. Praying in tongues is authority language that is loosed upon the earth once again through sons and daughters. It's God's wisdom, or often his strategies, being prayed upon the earth. So a language that's loosed once again, what does that mean? Well, our speech was that powerful in the garden, in the beginning. We had speech that carried power behind it, and that power was stopped at Babel, and then in Acts, we got it back. So we pray, praying tongues of strategies on the earth. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Zephaniah 3:9 says, for then changing their impure language, I will give to the people a clear and pure speech from pure lips, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one unanimous consent and one united shoulder bearing the yoke of the Lord. Well, my thoughts get in the way, my own methods or whatever gets in the way, so that my speech often isn't pure. Even when I'm trying to be pure and good, it gets off track. So with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I am able to go beyond that. John 16 and 17, where Jesus prays over us and tells us about the coming Holy Spirit, is not just some parting gift that he gave. It's necessary for the church. We need each other. We need each of you in that full power that he has, the full equipping, as Ephesians 4:12 says, to do the work of ministering, building our body, our church, up into a oneness that then it goes on to describe in the next verse as nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. Wow, how can we ever measure up to Christ's perfection? But with tongues, it helps us get there by teaching us in a language that our spirit understands. Maybe our natural emotions, we have areas in us that we're sensitive and it's raw and it's hard to have that be exposed. And we don't even want to pray about certain areas. We're just like, oh, this is too much. But when we pray in tongues, it can expose that and release that and let us be free from those things that hold us back. So we can also read scripture and pray in agreement with others more effectively. It says in Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree on earth, it will be done. Well, even when we're praying, do we really agree? We all have kind of, oh, I think this would be good for to happen. Lord, why don't you make this happen? Well, maybe that's not what's supposed to happen for that person. So when we pray in tongues, it's a more effective prayer. We can pray in agreement. We can even go further than that, and we can bind and loose things. We can decree things. We can speak heaven's words. So with that, we can become a strong church, a unified church in the faith. And Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. And he knows that because he also says that speaking in an unknown tongue edifies you. It builds you up, it comforts you during trials, and it gives you rest. So it's authority language loosed upon the earth. It's God's wisdom being prayed with unified purpose, and it's the Spirit praying on your behalf. Romans 8:27 even goes so far as to say, pleading on your behalf. And why? Because he loves you. He has a purpose for you. He has a fullness for you. So he's given you all of the resources. Like I said, the Spirit is the gift. Don't you want it all?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'll take it. Back to you.
Thank you. That was awesome. I couldn't write fast enough. I thought that was incredible insight about bringing back the language of the garden and how it was lost in Babel, and then in Acts it was released again. I'm going to think about that for a while. Thank you, Jennifer. That was really good. We actually prayed in pre-service prayer out of the end of Mark where Jesus said, we'll cast out demons and speak in new tongues. So I'm sensing a theme. All right, and I do want to remind you guys to silence your phones. So next we have our beautiful Brandy. Brandy grew up in the Hudson Valley, New York, and that's where we found her and recruited her by the way of marriage. She has been a member of Church on the Rock since Aaron brought her back in 2001. Aaron was a good son. Aaron went off somewhere else and he brought back a wife. Just like we told him in youth church, we said, we need some first round draft picks. So he went out and got him one. Laura went and got her one too, but they've been on different teams until now. So we finally got our first round draft picks back. But Brandy, you know you are a first rounder, and we just love you so much. She's the wife of Aaron, if everybody knows that. She has three amazing kids that we all love. She loves cooler weather and coffee, so coffee, guys. And she desires to see people anchored in the unfailing hope of Jesus. And, you know, Brandy and I have been building a friendship over the last few years. We text probably a couple times a month throughout the week. And she's also a runner, so she's been teaching me to run. But I just know her heart is to love the Lord. And she examines herself, and she tries to build herself up. She She wants to do more. She's someone that people can trust and can confide in. And so she is another diamond in our midst. And so, Brandy, please come and share with us.
So I asked the abbots if they would first minister to us through a song. So Melissa and Bobby Abbott are going to sing a song called Broken Bread by Wren Collective.
Dream through us. God, let your dreams come true through us. Through us. God, let your dreams come true. Dream through us. God, let your dreams come through us.
Was so good. I didn't let myself cry because I knew I wouldn't get it back together if I did. But thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys doing that. The reason I did that is because for me, and I'm sure many, that songs are often a way that God uses to realign my heart with His. And this song has been that for me for many years. All the words in it have become my prayer before the Lord. I want to take you back to 2012 when Aaron and I were asked to head up Children's Church. We said yes excitedly and hesitantly. Probably Aaron was more excited than I was. He tends to dive in headfirst, as you all know, and I'm like, dip my toe in and ask all the questions, and I need to know all the things. Even when Tony asked me, he said, take all the time you need to decide if you want to be the secretary, because that's how he talks, you know? And I told Aaron, I was like, he has seriously underestimated the amount of time that I can take to make a decision. So Aaron was way more excited, and I was hesitant, but we balanced each other out, and we said yes. We said yes because we knew absolutely that that was the call that God had for us at the time and what He was entrusting us with. Soon after that, a lot of the families that were here that we had grown very close to started leaving. Some had left before that, but others left after that, and that was very difficult. There were still some other families here and people who came here and there and people who brought their grandkids to church, but there came a time where most of the time it was just our kids and kids' church, and that was really sad. We were sad for our kids, because who doesn't want to have a buddy or two at church? You know, even as adults, that's one of the things that keeps us connected to the church body. So that was hard. I remember even during that time, well-meaning people, and I mean that sincerely, kind of gave us permission, like, if you need to go, we understand, you know? But we didn't want to. We loved, and we love our friends here. And we knew, we absolutely knew that God had called us to stay here. Fast forward to one Sunday, Aaron and I were tag team teaching, and we were teaching about generational ministry. I think at the time, Tony was doing a series on that, which seems kind of funny because there weren't a lot of kids here. But we were listening to God and we were praying, and that was what was on our hearts. And I remember the Rainiers showed up, and I was like, oh my goodness, are they going to stay? They're probably not going to stay. But they stayed, and Jackson had some buddies. We were friends with them before, but we grew closer to them during that time. And then because the Rainiers were here, the Marches ended up coming, and they stayed. And now you see we have lots of families here. Had we left, we would have missed out on the answer to hundreds, maybe thousands of prayers that we had prayed for more people and more families. And I think there's more. God has a harvest, and we would have missed out on the answers to prayer for God pouring out His Spirit and His calling and giftings. We would have missed out on that, and our kids would have missed out walking through something that was hard. They would have missed out walking and trusting God through something that was hard and understanding that hard is not always bad. We would have missed out on remembering that we are of yesterday and we know nothing, like it says in Job, and that God holds all knowledge. and that he has a plan and a purpose. We would have missed out on understanding that what he says about himself is true. So, Tony, how many times a week do you pray, like in meetings, like prayer meetings?
Four or five.
And I happen to know that Rachel and Tony, I hope this is okay to say, they pray on the fives every day. They pray at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Do you think there's something they might know about God? The reason that they're doing that is because they have read the word and they believe that it is true. And they're holding God to it. Now, you'd say, like, yeah, this is Tony's job. But it's his job because he knows something. And the reason that I can sing the words to this song, that I can say, God, may I be broken bread. May I be poured out wine. And spend my life, Jesus, any way you please, whether on great things or what seems small, or other lyrics that say, your will done your way, God, is because I believe his word. I'm taking him at his word. Now, I don't have specific scriptures today, but someone can hold up their Bible. Those are my scriptures today. Those are the scriptures. Read his word and get to know him through that. Otherwise, our calling becomes about us and not about God. I was listening to this teaching one day, and this lady, and it was talking about how, you know, you could get in your car, pack up your things, and you drive to Arizona, and you get to the Grand Canyon, and you'd never stand at the edge and say, I am awesome. You wouldn't do that. You'd be a fool to do that. You'd look at that, and you'd see God's hand in that, and understand that we are not like him. So I just want to pray for us before ending. God, we want to be broken bread before you. May we be broken bread. May we be poured out wine. Lord, we want to be like Jesus. Lord, you hold all knowledge and you learn none of it. God, we submit ourselves to you and we are so thankful for your word and what it says is true. Lord, and that you want to partner with us. We are so filled with gratitude, Lord. Lord, we say your will done, your way. God, no matter what our circumstances look like, we say yes to you, Lord God. We love you. Amen.
That was awesome. I remember when we would talk about, makes me cheery too, talk about Jackson and Ellie and Macy not having any friends and how hard that would be if you had to go to church and you didn't have many friends. And I was probably, I don't know if I said it out loud, one of those good-meaning people thinking if they have to go somewhere else, you know, do what you have to do. But the Lord is so, so faithful. If you take away anything from that testimony, is the faithfulness of God, that he even cared about Ellie and Jackson and Macy's heart, and to have family in the body of Christ beyond their own family, and that he sent us families that we have been praying for, and we continue to pray for more families because we do want to raise up the generations here. You know, we're building a ceiling for you guys to stand on who are coming behind us. And we need some little feet up there standing on that. We need, and then we need you to build a ceiling for the next generation to stand upon until the Lord comes. So, Brandy, thank you for that. And thank you for staying. And thank you to our new families that are here. We love you guys. Yes. Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 I love that. I love. Thank you, Jesus. So, our next speaker is Kay. And everybody knows Kay. Kay grew up in Miami, and she moved to Melbourne in her senior year of high school. Isn't that like the worst thing ever to move in your senior year of high school? I moved in my junior year, so I like did double work so I could graduate early. She became a born-again Christian here, and she was led to a local church where she met Gary and Bonnie. And she married Walter in 78, and they have two children, Kim and Ryan. Ryan used to drum for me way back in the day. He's a fabulous drummer. And they became members here at New Covenant Fellowship / Church on the Rock in 1989, which is weird because I could have sworn you were already here when I was here. I showed up in 87, but I was a road warrior, so I wasn't here very much, so I didn't always know. And we had two services back then, so... But anyway, what I do remember was that Kay was the Sunday school guru, especially for the children. And I even remember, did you remember they gave you an award? It was so cool because of all of your service. And she continues to serve and help with the children's ministry, so thank you for that. I know Aaron and Brandy really appreciate that. And she also is a huge, huge light in the public school system where she works at Bayside High in the guidance office. And she spends a lot of time praying over that school and praying over those teachers. And so, Kay, we welcome you this morning. Come and share your word with us.
Okay, I do have a word, of course, but this morning the Lord just really put on my heart about the fathers and grandfathers in this church.
Yes. Amen.
And especially after what Teresa said, I knew that was confirmation. So for every father in this room, grandfather, the world's trying really hard to diminish your role, your importance, and how vital you are. And I want to encourage you to, on days where you don't feel like you're measuring up, just know that you have such an important role. You are watchmen on the wall. Our church needs you. And I thought about your kids. Of course, they need you, but they need you to love their mom. And I don't know why I needed to say that. But when I was growing up, my parents were real dysfunctional. And I remember... Every once in a while, my dad would kiss my mom, and it was just like, oh, does he, you know, it just meant a lot to me. So I don't know where I'm going with all that, but loving your children's mother is huge.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway, so I've been thinking about what to say, and you know how we have catchphrases and, you know, the bandwagons out there, the, you know, all these different slogans. And the biggest thing here is... the big catchphrase, your safety is our biggest concern. That's our biggest concern, is your safety. The word safe means secure from danger, harm, or evil. I saw a commercial the other day, Stanley Steamer is going to come clean your house, and you will be safe. They actually said that. Stanley Steamer is here to keep you safe. When I go to Publix, the little girl's wiping down the cart. She's keeping me safe. The word safety means a condition of being safe from injury or hurt. Our definition of what it means to be safe and what we need to be safe from changes throughout our life. Safety is a bigger concern to me, especially when my kids were young. You know, as a parent, you know, it's keeping them safe, and there's so much out there, they can get hurt. So I have a funny story, so... Here with me. I tell this all the time because it's my favorite kid story, and we parents like to embarrass our kids. But I put my kids in a preschool that was run by a retired Catholic teacher. Her name was Agnes Starr. Her hair was perfect. She was dressed. She was very professional, and she was that staunch Catholic teacher, and she was wonderful. She really was good. My son Ryan was probably about 5 because it was preschool. And I showed up to pick him up, and she stops me at the door and she says, I got to tell you what happened. You're never going to believe this. And I'm like, oh, this can't be good. So that day, she decided to do the whole instruction about stranger danger. Remember that? You know, don't go near a stranger. So she went through the whole lesson of what, you know, what strangers are and what you need to do. And so she had all the kids' attention, and she says, okay, we're going to pretend that you're outside playing in the yard, and a car with a man pulls up. And he says, hey, come here, little boy, little girl, I have candy. Come here. What do you do? And of course, the kids, you run home, go get your mom, scream. And she said, after a couple minutes, Ryan lifted his hand and he said, just tell the stranger to throw you the candy. And she was so taken. She goes, Kay, I've done this job for a long time, and I've never had a kid come up with that. And I said, I didn't know whether to be embarrassed, proud. But she said, of course, she corrected him. That's not the right answer. But she said that took a lot of thought. And his first reaction wasn't fear. It was, let's think about this. He's got candy. I'm over here. Good, right? So, and then of course it changes. And then you parents of teenagers, when they become teenagers, it's a whole nother thing about safety because they're learning their independence. And I remember for the first time I really felt fear when my daughter started to drive. That was when I realized I couldn't be there to protect her or be in the car with her all the time, and it was a scary thing. But that's, parents will tell you that's when you really seek God's covering over your kids. And when you have kids, it's it really brings you to a place of you think differently and you drive differently, you do things differently as parents. But anyway, so that was about safety. So again, the catchphrase, keep you safe. And I don't know about you, but is it just me or are there more lawyer commercials? Because if you're not safe, Morgan & Morgan will make sure that your lack of safety will make you rich. Am I right? Yes. Okay, skip the page, sorry. So let's think about the things we want to protect. What do we want to keep safe? Ourselves, I want to be safe. Our families, especially our kids. Our homes, we want to keep our homes safe, right? We do that. Our schools, we want to keep safe. Our hospitals, our churches, we want to be safe. And our workplace. We want to keep our finances safe. We're supposed to be good stewards of our money. We want to keep it safe. We want to keep our community safe. There's a lot of communities out there that are, I'm so thankful that Brevard County, really, when you think about it, the Lord has been gracious, and we haven't had to face a lot of stuff that other cities and communities are, so I'm really thankful for our community. And Tony, I know that the prayer with the pastors is huge, so I thank you that you and Gary pray with other pastors. I really believe that. It's effective, and we've been spared a lot of hurt and harm. What do we want to be safe from? Bodily harm, injury, of course. We don't want anybody to take advantage of us, steal from us. I mean, there's scams out there. People are looking for opportunities to steal from us. Natural disasters, whoa, that's a big one. I mean, you don't have to look far. I mean, there's natural disasters on the news every day. And so the other thing, economy collapse, A year ago, we were doing really good on the economy, and it didn't take long for that to go south. My parents grew up in the Depression, and I remember them talking about that. It was hard. My dad was fortunate. He lived on a farm, so they never worried about food or starving. My mother, on the other hand, her dad was an accountant, I believe, and of course, he lost his job, and my mom remembers him not being able to feed his family, and she said they would eat, like, cornmeal mush, and And at the time, at school, they didn't have school lunches, so she said she would be the kid with a cup of water. She didn't have any food. And so, you know, our nation's gone through that, and we face the threat of that. We don't know. But those are things that we want to keep safe from cyber attacks. You know, we worry about cyber attacks. So, ways to keep safe. What do we do, you know, to keep safe? We have access to so much protection these days. I mean, really, when you think about it, our cars pretty much drive themselves now. I mean, remember, we were kids. We didn't have seatbelts in our cars when I was growing up. Now we have the state-of-the-art car seats and airbags everywhere. We have cameras. So those are ways we keep safe. We have home security systems. I grew up in Miami. We had a lock on the door. We kept our windows open because we had no air conditioning. But now we have all kinds of security systems. You know, a lot of people own guns, and we have alerts. So we have so many alerts now on our phones, and your credit card. If somebody uses your credit card, you get a warning. We have self-defense classes, gun safety classes. We have TSA in airports. We have screening, searches at theme parks, hospitals, courthouses, concerts, plays, sporting events. Rachel said, I work at the high school. We've always had a resource officer. But now they have, I don't know what her title, it's a woman. She's a security person, and she carries a weapon. She's ex-military. She is not allowed to work on any capacity. She can't, let's just say there's a fight. She can't intervene. She can't talk to a child or a teenager. Her only job is if there's a school shooting, she can shoot the shooter. That's it. That's her only job. And she is on our campus. Unless Southwest needs her and then she leaves. So we just hope if there's a shooting that it's not when she's gone. So, but why am I telling you? Oh, we have drills. We have lots of drills. We have drills for all kinds of stuff. And we go into lockdown. And, you know, and I get it. I get it, you know. Stoneman Douglas was a big, big wake-up call for us. And a lot of things changed after Stoneman Douglas. If you remember down in South Florida, it was a really big thing. We actually, I registered a kid from Stoneman Douglas. He actually witnessed his friend get shot. So it's a reality. It's a reality that we live in. And parents want their kids safe. We want our kids safe. And so we do drills. We do drills all the time. I have a little joke. Our resource officer, every once in a while I just tease at him because I get some aggressive parents. I said, can you just get me a taser? That's all I'm asking. Please, just give me a taser. And of course he can't, you know. So he asked me, he said, what kind of weapon you got? I said, I have scissors. That's it. That's all I got, scissors. So it's a joke. Like, he'll be on we have walkie-talkies and we can hear what's going on. And there was not a scuffle, but there was something happened. He goes, I was on the radio, you didn't come with your scissors. So I would say, call me for backup. So anyway. So I think about, you know, everyone's talking about the year 2020. It's like, well, we just want it over with. I think the year 2020 could be called the year we didn't see that one coming. For a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of us that have had things happen. We just didn't see that coming. And I think I've said that a few times. Like, I don't know that one. Never did I imagine that Disney would close. Schools would shut down. So when our sense of safety and security is tested, our tendency is to either go into defense mode or flight. But as children of God, we have access to peace anywhere, anytime. Anywhere, anytime. Remember, God gave me a word about having the upper hand. I don't know if you remember that, but God reminds me of that when I get afraid or I'm not sure. My world's a little rocked. He goes, okay, you have the upper hand here. You know, just remember that. So you all are going to relate to this about hurricane season. So I was divorced about 3.5 years ago. And, you know, I was married 38 years. And so anytime there was a storm or hurricane, I always had Walter. And so in 2017, I was living on my own. You know, anytime a faucet leaked or something, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And so Hurricane Irma rolls around in September of 2017. So I was putting my shutters up. I was doing great. And then What's funny is my sister went through Hurricane Andrew in Miami, and she said, Kay, anytime there's a hurricane, make sure you keep your shoes on. Because you never know, let's just say something, the roof it falls in, you have your shoes on. So I remember I'm ready, and I'm watching the news, and got my shoes on, and I'm on the couch. And this, that's the worst thing about a hurricane. It's not the storm. It's the stuff before. It's the panic. Go in the store. The water's off the shelf. It's just, and then you do. You get panicky, and it's just like, oh, that's the part I hate. But anyway, so I'm on my couch, and so around, I don't know, 11, the Lord just spoke, hey, go to bed. Just go to bed. And then I thought about Psalm 4:8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. And my biggest fear was the neighbor has a really big oak tree right in the front. I'm thinking, oh, this tree comes down, you know. But Lord said, go to bed. And I slept like a baby. And I think I slept till like 9 the next morning. It was really good. I never lost power. So then this just past mid-March, of course, you all know around mid-March, everything started to come around the pike with the COVID. And so it was spring break, and I was doing a landscape project, and I was just going to run into Walmart. I was just going to grab something out of the garden center. I was good. So I'm in the garden center, ready to grab something and go, and my son Ryan calls me. He lives in South Florida. And he's like, Mom, where are you at? And I said, I'm in Walmart buying something for the, you know, lawn thing. He says, you need to buy 2 weeks of food right now. 2 weeks, because down in South Florida, we got National Guard come in. They're going to lock us down. I'm like, really? Like, now? Like, he goes, I'm telling you, Mom, just do it. Of course, he's, you know, his son. He worries about his mom, and that's all good. And I was doing really well till I grabbed my shopping cart, and then I see people, like, just snatching stuff. It's like the hurricane thing all over again. I'm like, I was not prepared for this, and I felt this. You know that... It literally grips you. Fear just grabs you out of nowhere, with no warning. It's and I went into panic mode, and the Lord, like, okay, who has the upper hand here, you know? And I said, okay, God. And I did. I calmed down. I think I got a couple things. I thought, you know, if I just live on Cheerios for 2 weeks, I'm okay. I'm really okay here. And my peace returned. My mother-in-law, I did love her, but she was a woman of total fear. She walked in fear all the time. She was always dodging dangers of the day, home invaders, peeping Toms, Zika virus, encephalitis, Christmas tree fires, you name it. She even refused to go on another cruise after watching the movie Titanic. But she never thought twice about jumping on I-95. And I'm thinking, so it's illogical, you know, and it's just we things that we think we're going to stay safe from. But and I work in a high school, and especially with everything going on with COVID, I answer phone calls all day. And most of them are... Well, in the beginning, you know, what do parents do? They didn't put their kids in school. What are you going to do? And they just needed someone to tell them. Of course, I can't tell them what to do, but I just would literally walk parents off the ledges, and all I could tell them is, you just make your decision. You make your decision because you have to sleep at night with it. If you make the wrong one, it's okay. You just call the counselor and talk to them. So, and they would just thank me just for walking them off a ledge. So, but yet these parents probably give no thought, and they're worried about a virus, their kid getting a virus, but their kid is watching, who knows, video games, listening to music, and yet they don't even realize the danger, the real danger out there. But yet they feel safer knowing that they're wearing masks, we've got hand sanitizer everywhere, we've got an officer, a security, we're good, but yet they don't realize the real danger. And so... they underestimate, and it's sad, because I see the effects of these kids that that probably don't, again, like with Teresa, they don't have a dad, they don't have the family anchor. So they're literally just kind of drifting through life, listening to their friends and video games, and that's scary. So my prayer for me and for you, that we would become steadfast. I pray that a lot. And Psalm 51 is always, since I was a little girl, I'm like Jennifer. I remember as a little girl, we used to sing that, like in Lutheran church, we'd sing the Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God. And it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. And I pray that a lot. Isaiah 26:13, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So even on days where my knees are wobbly, I'm not sure, all I pray is, God, I want to trust you more. Psalm 16:8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. In Psalm 73:23, the psalmist says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Who am I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So I was telling Rachel this the other day. Whenever I read that, I just do this. God, you're here. And I have to do that as an act of you're here. You're here. So what's interesting, and God showed me this yesterday. So in Psalm 73, God says, I am always with, the psalmist says to God, I am always with you. In Isaiah, the Lord says, I'm always with you. So it's like, who's with who? And it's really, when you think about it, right? So now I think, God, you're always with me, but I'm with you. So now I can say, when I get afraid, I go, I'm with him. I am with him. And I never really thought about that. Because I always know he's here, and he's out here somewhere. He's out here. Grab me, God. Hold me by my right hand, and you're right there. But he's with me. I'm with him. So that's my security. As children of God, we have access to a security that only comes through trusting in God's promises. In our life's journey, he knows what is before us. He doesn't keep us from all adversity, but he promises to never forsake us. I think that's it. Amen. I do have something to close with. I just wanted to speak a word of Jeremiah over you. And it says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. And that's a word over you.
Amen. Good word. So, thank you, Kay. That was awesome. I have worried a little bit about, we're so focused on safety, I'm not sure that we wouldn't lay down and just say, take over for us invading Armony. We just keep us safe. So there is something about safety has its limits as well, and freedom is greater than safety. But during communion, I saw when the God family started coming up for communion, I had that same sense about fathers. And so I just want to take a minute. Let's have the band come up. We're going to do two things. We're going to pray for the fathers. And then I'm going to have the ministry team come up and have anyone who wants more of God, wants more of the Holy Spirit, less fear, more faith, just kind of what we've heard. And Jennifer and Kay be available to pray as well. I just really want to give us an opportunity to ask for more of the Lord in that way. But first, I want to just pray for the Father. So if you guys can stand, the fathers can stand. And I'm blessing you on a Women's Sunday. As women, thank you for being our fathers. Thank you for being there. The world needs fathers so desperately. And the message in the pop culture is no fathers. But we need you to be fathers, both in this house, to your children, and to us in this house. Be my father. I tell Stuart Greaves all the time, you're my son, my father, my mentor. I need that. And so God, thank you for these men that are fathers. Thank you for the young men in this house who will be fathers one day. And we bless them in the name of the Lord. We bless you, our brothers, our fathers, the men of this house. We bless you in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would strengthen them in their inner man to be good fathers and good husbands. Lord, you have designed them. You have built them to be that. You put it in their DNA. When you formed Adam in the dust, you put in him to be a father and a husband and a protector. And God, we ask that they would be able to walk in that by your divine power and your divine Holy Spirit. Where they are weak, will you be strong? Where they stumble, will you lift them up? God, will you fill their heart with that desire to be the good father and a good husband? And remind us as the women of the house and as the wives and the mothers to say, good job, thank you. Lord, I love the men of this house and I thank you so much for every single one of them. Seal it, Holy Spirit. Put your seal upon their heart and upon their arm. In Jesus' name, amen.